Lieutenant Governor Kim Reynolds and I are pleased to be joined by Dr. Jeff Weld, who is the Executive Director of the Governor's STEM Advisory Council. Very soon, leaders from across, in fact, right now, people from across Iowa are joining us to convene and discuss impressive progress and path forward for Iowa's STEM program. Already, Iowa is recognized as a leader in preparing our students for 21st century careers through STEM education. This would not have been possible without the bipartisan support that we've received from the Iowa legislature. The results speak for themselves. In 2013-14 school year, over 3,100 classroom and clubs were engaged in STEM activities. More than 100,000 Iowa youth participated in STEM programs. And since 2009-2010, we've seen a 43% increase in STEM-related degrees awarded by Iowa's four-year colleges and universities. We know that if we are to be preparing our children for the 21st century careers, they must be equipped with a 21st century education. Through STEM education, our children will continue securing great career opportunities in our knowledge-based global economy, and business will look to grow and expand within our borders due to our exceptional talent pipeline. I look forward to addressing the summit at 11:30 this morning, hearing from STEM leaders from across Iowa. At this time, I'm pleased to introduce the co-chair of the Governor's STEM Council, Lieutenant Governor Reynolds, to discuss the STEM initiative and more information about the STEM Summit. Kim?
Well, good morning, and thank you, Governor Branstad. And it's really hard to believe that in just 3.5 short years since it was created, Iowa's STEM program is now a recognized leader across the country and around the world. Many groups have visited our state to learn about Iowa's STEM best practices for their students. It's really a strong testament of the public-private partnerships and the statewide STEM strategy in Iowa. You know, as I have the opportunity to travel the state, I continue to see the excitement building around STEM education. Last month, I had the opportunity to speak at Introduce a Girl to Engineering event at St. Ambrose University. There were over 300 young girls participating in the event, with over 200 on a waiting list wanting to participate in the event. The girls were engaged, enthusiastic, and eager to get involved in STEM. Also, this weekend, First Tech Challenge North Super Regional, and First Tech is one of the scale-ups that we have, was held here in Des Moines, and we had 72 teams participating. 14 different states was represented, and Iowa had the second most states participating with 13 teams. We have about 1,600 students that participate in the First Tech Challenge. 40% of them are girls, and 13% represent ethnic diversity. We actually have 4 teams that made it through the competition and are heading to the world's championship in St. Louis, and that's Marion, Denver, Oskaloosa, and Davenport. So really proud of the participation and the results that we had in that event. And this is just 2 examples of the positive momentum that's taking place, both with organized initiatives, the Governor's STEM Council, and organic programs at the local level. For Iowa to succeed in the future, we must continue to aggressively use STEM as a tool for economic development and human capital development, ensuring that we remain competitive, innovative, and growing in a knowledge-based global economy. STEM's about expanding opportunities for all, and I am seeing it every day. STEM is changing lives. We only have to look at what's happening throughout Iowa to see that that's absolutely true. And now I'd like to invite to the podium the gentleman that is really making this all happen by leading the initiative, and that's the STEM's Executive Director, Dr. Jeff Weld. Jeff?
Thank you. Thank you, Governor. Thank you, Lieutenant Governor. It is a great honor to serve Iowa STEM. Today is a seismic day for Iowa. Across this foyer, almost 600 Iowa stakeholders will be convening to, and by the way, many from beyond our state borders also convening to advance these STEM initiatives that the Lieutenant Governor has mentioned. Interestingly, you know, this is the future of Iowa that assembles in that room. These are the educators, the business leaders, government officials, nonprofit heads who hold Iowa's economic future in their hands. They have the children of Iowa in their classrooms, in their hallways, in their partnerships, and in their clubs. What today's all about is reporting out on the 17 STEM solutions that are being advanced as a result of this monumental effort. They range from computer science solutions for our students to counselor engagement with our business, industry, and educators, business school partnerships, teacher training, and many more. It's all going to be anchored by an amazing young man, Kwizera Imani, who has come from Tanzanian refugee to advanced placement everything at Des Moines North High School. And this fella spells opportunity, STEM. I hope you have a chance to meet him. But, you know, the underlying current of this entire day is not about merely four subjects, science, technology, engineering, mathematics. It's about producing the critical thinkers, the problem solvers, the group workers, the big idea people that are currently our pre-K through 12 students. These are the people that will need to graduate post-secondary study ready and STEM career ready for the state of Iowa, we hope. So I think you can almost feel the floor shake up here tonight. That's the seismic effect. So thank you for being here, and hope you can stay. Thank you.
Well, Jeff, thank you very much. We'd open it to questions first on this subject. Questions on STEM? It's all about the future.
Yes, it is.
Well, I hope you can stick around and cover this conference. We'd be glad to answer questions on other subjects as well today. Well, I think that forfeiture has been an effective tool to help both state and local law enforcement. I do think, however, they need to review and carefully decide what items are going to be forfeited and what's going to be purchased with them, make sure that they are operating within the law. Well, really, I would want to study this further. You know, I always reserve judgment on any proposal in the Iowa legislature until I see it in its final form, because these things can be dramatically changed through the process. It's Pence. Okay.
At any rate, what do you think of that situation? Some people have said Iowa should use it to its advantage to say Iowa is open to gay and lesbian people. Come here and come to Iowa, and we're open for business for gay people. Have you got any thought about this one?
Well, we believe in treating everybody with respect and dignity, and I also don't believe in I'm not knowledgeable about the specifics of the legislation in the state of Indiana, so I don't think it would be appropriate for me to comment on that. Just to say that in Iowa, we have a history of being open and fair, and I believe everybody should be treated with respect and dignity. This has to do with the lawsuit, and I can't comment on that. I would encourage you to contact my attorney, George LaMarca, for any questions about anything that might be associated with the lawsuit. Well, again, I'm not going to comment on the lawsuit. This is a matter that is before the courts, and we've gone through extensive discovery, and a lot of that information has been made public, but there will be an upcoming trial, and I've been advised by my attorney I should not comment on specifics involving the lawsuit. Well, I would point out that we're facing a significant financial challenge. You know that the March revenue estimate actually was $19 million below what I based the budget on in December. I stand by my recommendations, which were made in the second day of the session, for both fiscal years. It does provide about $100 million of more state dollars for K through 12 public education in fiscal year 2016, and another $150 million more in the second year, fiscal year 2017. I believe the legislature should approve funding for both of those years in order to give school districts stability and predictability. We do not want to go back to the bad old days that we had under Culver, when the legislature and the governor promised all kinds of new money and then did a massive across-the-board cut of 10% in 2009, and then underfunded the school aid formula by $125 million in 2010. I promise stability and predictability, and what we promise we will deliver, and I think the sooner the legislature can resolve this, and not just for fiscal year 2016, but 16 and 17, I think the better off we're going to be, and then schools will have the predictability they need going forward.
Why are you opposed to year-round high schools?
Well, we don't have any year-round high schools in Iowa, so there's not something that we need to address. I believe that the issue of the school start date, I'm acceptable with the compromise bill. It's now passed both houses. I understand there is a motion to reconsider in the Senate, but I can live with the present law, or this compromise is something that I would find also acceptable. Well, I think computer science is important, and I think it should be offered. Whether it should be mandatory for every student, I think is really a local decision.
Can you explain the changes you made in the makeup of the Iowa Utilities Board?
Well, as you know, the Utilities Board serves terms for years. There's three members of that board. I appointed Jerry Huser, who's a lawyer, former legislator, has served in both the executive and legislative branches of government. She has a very pro-business experience and background, and I thought she would be a great addition to that board.
Was this due to any pressure from businesses who didn't like some of the outcomes?
No. This is a decision I made, and I chose a Democrat, by the way. I know Jerry. I've known her for a long time. I have confidence in her experience and judgment. I think she will not only be a great member, but a great chair for that board. And I thought having a lawyer as chair of that board made sense.
Governor, does it make sense for Iowa to give all these millions of dollars to Ivy for their new headquarters? And did that have any, was that related to all the fact that your campaign chairwoman was just retired from Ivy?
No. Actually,
we just had Dolls go bankrupt because they didn't have enough money, and the state is giving millions of dollars to Ivy. Does that make sense?
Well, first of all, I want to say that we have Hy-Vee and Fairway. Both are great corporate citizens of our state. We also have Casey's and Come and Go, and Dolls has now been, they've gone through bankruptcy and been sold, and many of those stores are going to be, today is the reopening under new ownership of the one in our neighborhood there in Ingersoll and several others. So it's a very competitive environment, but we're very blessed to have a company of that magnitude. Of Hy-Vee is a great corporate citizen. They're located all over the state of Iowa. They treat their employees very well. You know, there's a helpful smile in every aisle. They treat their customers well. It's the only logo that I know of that any retailer that's had that's lasted 50 years, so that says something about their culture and the great job that they do. And so I don't think it's inappropriate for the state of Iowa to help them to continue to grow in our state as we have with many other businesses.
There's the funnel deadline. You have several proposals
Oh, we're pretty optimistic on bullying, and we're very hopeful that we're going to see it approved with bipartisan support. Last year, it passed both houses in different forms, but the House and the Senate were not able to resolve their differences before the end of the session. Now, this year, last year we didn't get the proposal to the legislature till later in the session. This year, they've had it from the very beginning. They've been working on it through the session, and we're very optimistic that anti-bullying, which is really needed, we've had several summits on that. There's been great leadership from students and administrators and teachers and parents involved in this process, and I'm very optimistic the legislature will approve it.
A question in regards to, you're aware that the Department of Labor has sent a letter to Beth Townsend saying that the state is out of compliance, specifically in terms of the chief administrative law judge not being an at-will person as opposed to being...
I think the responsibilities of that position have changed. And I have great confidence in Beth Townsend. She inherited a mess at the Iowa Civil Rights Commission, and she cleaned it up, straightened it out, and it became one of the best, most efficient, and fair agencies we have. I think she's off to a great start. You know that she received unanimous confirmation as the Director of Workforce Development, and I think she'll do the same kind of outstanding, detailed, effective leadership job in that position at workforce development.
But they said, though, that you're not in compliance.
No, we're going to leave it up to Beth to decide what changes need to be made. And I have every confidence in her judgment and ability. And in fact, I've actually had her make presentations to other department heads about the work and the changes that she made in the Civil Rights Commission when she was there. Her background, her military background, her experience in the Judge Advocate Corps, I think prepared her well, and what she did with the Civil Rights Commission. And already I'm hearing really good feedback from virtually everybody, employees in the Department of Workforce Development, from legislators and from citizens that have dealings with that department. So I think she's doing a good job, and I'm very supportive of her. And I'm not one that believes in micromanaging.
Well, Teresa Waller, though, said that she actually wanted to make it a merit job, and that Hinch, Roederer, and Janet Phipps overruled her. What about that?
Well, I'm not going to get into personnel decisions within that. And as I said, the nature of that job was changed.
Right.
And consequently, I have confidence that Beth Townsend will make the appropriate judgments and provide the kind of leadership we need for workforce development. And I think she's off to a great start, and she wouldn't have gotten unanimous support in the Senate through confirmation if the Senate didn't also have confidence in her.
In what way was the job changed?
They don't rule on cases. They don't rule on cases anymore. It's more administrative.
So it's more an administrative position today. So it's different. It's not, they're not making decisions based on contested cases.
Governor, on the year-round high schools, I mean, since there aren't any in Iowa at the moment, why is there a need to ensure there never will be?
Well, no. If that subject comes up in the future, we're not dealing with the issue of whether you can or can't have a year-round high school. We're only dealing with the issue of a school start date.
But the bill has year-round school provisions in it.
No, it has an exception for a few, and it's relatively few. I think Des Moines just eliminated two of the year-round schools, grade schools, this year. There's less than a dozen, I think, in the state of Iowa. And that's been the case over the last 20, 30 years.
The council says that's a sticking point, though. It's year-round high school. So why not just give up on that since there aren't any?
Well, first of all, the legislation has already approved both houses in the same form. I see no reason to address something that's a non-issue when there are no year-round high schools.
Right.
I can't see what his problem could be.
Thank